For those of you who've been around listening to me for a long time, you know I've spoken about one of my homiletics professors, and I was realizing this morning that this is 30 years ago, and it obviously had some kind of an effect because it still sticks with me today. And you had this, well, at that time I found a tremendously irritating habit of when you were learning how to preach, which is something I wouldn't inflict on very many people. Listening to people trying to learn how to preach can be really something. And what he used to do is he used to say, "So what?" And usually he'd wait till the end, but sometimes he'd just stop you in the middle and say, "So what? You're talking, but what's the point?" And so I almost put that in the sermon title. The sermon title is just, "He is risen," with the three dots afterwards. And I almost put, "So what?" afterwards. And then I thought, well, that might just seem somewhat disrespectful, but it's a question that's worth asking, isn't it? Today we get together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So, what does that mean? What does it mean to us? What does it mean to people now? Does it mean anything? Well, I'll give away the answer. Yes, it means quite a lot. And it means all kinds of things. And it means different things to different people at different times. But I think more than anything else, what the reality of the resurrection means is that everything that Jesus said about himself is trustworthy. And that the traditions that have followed coming from that through Scripture, the things that Paul wrote, who was in the same generation as Jesus' original followers, what he said was trustworthy as well. Because when we look at what we see in the Gospels up until then, we see a particular kind of person where Jesus makes extraordinary claims about himself. And one of the things I've always enjoyed about C.S. Lewis, there's all kinds of things that he's written that are well worth reading. But he said one of the most peculiar things that we have is this idea that Jesus was this great moral teacher, or he had great ethics, and you can just sort of write him off as that. He said the only people who say that are people who've never actually read the New Testament. Because Jesus isn't necessarily a particularly moral teacher, although he's not immoral, and he's not talking about ethics or anything of that nature. What Jesus is, as C.S. Lewis so pithily put it, he's either a lunatic or he's the Son of God. Those are your options. Oh, you can also think he's a liar, but that sort of gets rolled up in the lunatic thing too, according to C.S. Lewis. And if Jesus wouldn't have come back from the dead as he said he was going to, we wouldn't have that opportunity to believe that he's the Son of God. Because that was the ultimate ratification that what Jesus said about himself was true. And we could spend a lot of time, I suppose, going through the historical proofs for the resurrection, and we can do that at some other point if you like. They're quite compelling. But what we can do instead of that this morning is we can look at the witness of Scripture, where we see that Mary and eventually a couple of disciples went and saw this empty tomb, and then Mary saw the risen Christ. Well, so what? That was nice for Mary. A friend that she thought was dead was back alive. That would be an extraordinary thing for all of us who have lost anyone. Having them come back would be wonderful. But there's more to it than that for us. Because Jesus made extraordinary claims about himself. He said that he had come to earth that we might know God in a way that we'd never known before. That Jesus had come to earth that we might know God in a way that had been barred to everyone before, even with prophets and all those people that we read about in the Old Testament who had these dramatic encounters with God. Jesus said those are something, but they're not enough. He said, by meeting me, you have now met God. And we began to expand our understanding of God past what we'd always had before as people, that God was there and we were here. And in a very real sense, there was this unbridgeable gap between the two. And Jesus said, no, there's no gap at all. Because what we see here is we see that someone who is just like us, not in every detail, he lived long ago, he didn't have the same identical frustrations and challenges that we have, but he still had frustrations and challenges just like we do. And in the midst of all that, He wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a rabbi. He wasn't just somebody who was sufficiently charismatic that people followed him around and wanted to listen to him and be with him. We realize that those things that he said about himself were true. That Jesus, this teacher, this person who had followers of all kinds, was actually God at the same time. And so when Jesus says things like, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the full," he's not saying it from the perspective of a really good teacher. He's not saying it just from the perspective of someone who has studied human nature and understands how we can be happy and how we can have a good life. He's saying it from the perspective of God, who created the life we have. The resurrection of Jesus demonstrates that when he says things about God's love for us, they're dependable. In the same way that we can come up with really great ideas about what another place is like, we can read books, we can look at pictures, we can even watch movies and videos about what, oh, I don't know, Australia or Norway is like. But isn't it better to talk to somebody who's actually been there? What do you consider more trustworthy? A picture that can be taken from some peculiar angle that hides all the faults or highlights all the faults, depending on what the photographer's trying to do, or someone who's been there and says, "This is what it's like." That's what we want. Those are the kinds of things that we need to make those kinds of decisions about whether we want to go there, whether we want to experience something. And Jesus is that person. Before this, we had prophets, we had priests, we had biblical scholars who told people this is what God thought about us and all that. And then Jesus came and said, "No, this is what God thinks about you, because I know. I know in a way that nobody else does." Because Jesus, through the mystery of the incarnation, was both a human being just like us, but also God. And that's a bold statement to make at the very least. But one of the things that Jesus said was that you will know these things, you'll know the truth of what I say, when what I say will happen does. Which is hard for his first believers or his first followers to believe. I always find it fascinating that in our John reading this morning, we have Mary going, finding the tomb is empty. She calls the disciple. Obviously, John didn't want to name himself, and Peter, and says something's gone wrong. So they came and they looked, and in verse 9 it says, they still do not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. It took an encounter with that living Jesus, first with Mary and then with them, for them to actually believe. We can have that same encounter with that same living Jesus because he's alive, because he rose from the dead. It won't be exactly the same as it was for Mary. We won't have that physical encounter, but it wouldn't do us much good because we didn't know what he looked like when he was here because, well, we weren't friends of his then. But we can still have an encounter with God, even now, even all these years later, because he's alive, because he's risen, because that same Jesus who walked on this earth in a different place than I've ever walked, with different people than I've ever met, but was still here, died and rose again. We celebrate that resurrection today because it's through that resurrection that we know that all of those things that Jesus said about himself, that said about how valued we are, about how much he loves us, were true. We celebrate the resurrection because without it, we don't really have much. We have a collection of rules, perhaps. But with the resurrection, we have a relationship with God that wasn't possible before. We have the opportunity to move into this relationship with God through this living Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, because he's alive. Because he wasn't just a good teacher with some good ideas. He wasn't just someone who could move a crowd with the power of his words. He was someone who could be God and a human being. And so now we have this raised Jesus who subsequently went back to the Father, which means that we have an advocate there that understands us from the inside out. Someone who, when we read things about how God will never leave us nor forsake us, knows exactly what we can be like and knows how awful we can be as a group, but also how wonderful we can be. Jesus coming back from the dead means that we follow a living God, not just a good idea. Not just a useful set of rules or regulations. It's hard to be in a relationship with a concept. I'm not sure it's even possible. I know I can't, but maybe some people can. We're in relationship with living things, with people. And we're in a relationship with Jesus because he is alive. Because he came to say, I'm going to do what nobody else can. I'm going to come and take all the sin that's ever been or ever will be and say that it's not enough. If all the sin that ever could be wasn't enough to keep Jesus dead, it's not enough to keep us separated from God either. Resurrection of Jesus demonstrates that we're loved, because that's why he came back. Not for him, but for us. Oh, it's sometimes tricky to think how this all works. If it was hard for Mary and Peter and John and Thomas and all those people who knew him and saw him, we shouldn't be too surprised that it's kind of tough for us sometimes. But we come to the resurrection with joy, with delight, because what it says is that all that we believe in is alive, that has the power to transcend death itself. And so that when Jesus says, I've come to bring you good things, he knows what he's talking about, and they will happen. On this Sunday, whatever it is that you do to celebrate this resurrection, whether it's getting together with friends and family to eat, because that's one of the best ways to celebrate anything, is to eat things. Remember that we serve a living God, that Jesus came to experience everything we could, to die as we all will, but to demonstrate the reality of his divinity by coming back to life and saying that one day you will come and be with me because he loves us. Amen.